This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
Hello, VFN family. I am so encouraged about sharing this message with you. The title of this message is Sin Nature and the Law of the Spirit. You know, if you have your Bibles, open them to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to be reading verse 1 through 5, but we're talking about sin nature and the law of the Spirit, really the law of the sin nature and the law of the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I guess I do know about you because we're all created just alike, that we're all born with this thing called sin nature that happened from the fall of man in the garden. And sometimes, you know, when you love God and you're just going after God and you want everything just to please the Lord as a Christian, as a believer, something rises up, something happens, you know. It's called the sin nature. You know, Paul talks about when I go to do good, evil's right there present with me in Romans chapter 7. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But understanding this, that there's a remedy for this. God, through the law of the Spirit, has dealt with the law of the sinful nature. And he did that at the cross. And so I want to encourage you in this teaching. It's going to be maybe two parts to it. It could be three, but we'll just progress as the Lord leads us. I want to cover all the details. But you're going to be encouraged because the good news of the gospel is that the Lord has dealt with that aspect of us. And it's for us to rightly place that at the foot of the cross that we're going to find out about here. Look at your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. I want to open up in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for your finished work on the cross. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that this thing that we identified in our past life, and sometimes it raises our head in our present life, called our sin nature, Lord, that you've dealt with that. And I just pray, Lord, in this teaching, in this series of teachings, Father God, that you would just stir everyone's heart to realize how awesome it is what you did for us, Lord, and to place it where it belongs and to leave it there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. We're going to be talking about the law of the Spirit. In verse 1, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. These are believers. That's who's in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You see that? Set me free. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. In us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. That is so awesome, but there's so much to that to understand the simplicity of the gospel. We're going to back it up a little bit and begin to explain what took place and what the Lord has done for us. First of all, we have to understand that we have three natures. There's three natures about us. First of all, there's the human nature. Secondly, there's the sin nature we just talked about. And thirdly, there's the divine nature. And you can write these scriptures down because we're going to move quite quickly through scripture, so I encourage you just to write them down. We want to establish each of them according to the Word of God. But the first is the human nature. Human nature is Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 27. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creation that moves along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Think about this. So we have a human nature about us, that God created us from the dust of the earth, and he breathed Zoe life into us, and we became alive. We were created in his image and his likeness. But there's another part of us, too. It's called the sin nature. You can write these two scriptures down. One is Romans chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, and 1 John chapter 1 and 8. And I'll read about our sin nature. Romans chapter 7, verse 17, he says, as it is, he's talking about the struggle he's having inside of him, Paul is, it is no longer I myself who does it, and he's referring to sin, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. There it is, that's in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And so Paul is talking about the other nature, which is the sin nature. You know, John talks in 1 John 1:8, he says, if we confess that we are without sin or we don't have a sin nature, he says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, not only do we have a sin nature, but God expects us to be aware of our sin nature and what he does with our sin nature. So we have a human nature and we have a sin nature. And the third nature that we have when we're born again, we have a divine nature. A divine nature where God comes and dwells with us. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And he says, in the scripture, he says, through these, he, which is God, has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in what? His divine nature, and escape the corruption in the world caused by the evil desires. Think about it. We have three natures. We have our human nature, we have our sin nature, and we have our divine nature. How often has the enemy taken your sin nature or your human nature and literally ran over the revelation of the divine nature of God that's in you? You know that you're creating the image and likeness of God, yes, but now that you're a believer, God dwells inside of you. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? You think about it. And the enemy begins to stir things up and us not understanding, because God's people are destroyed, what? From a lack of knowledge, they start focusing on different things instead of their divine nature, the God part of them. And so we're going to talk about that. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when we are born again and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and accept the finished work that he did on the cross, and we're going to talk about the cross again and again and again, for it is the power of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 5, 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Not the old is hanging around. He said the old is gone. We are literally a new creation, totally and completely new when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Totally new. And our sin nature, which we talked about that we have, our sin nature, though it's still present with us, it's dormant. Say that. It's dormant. Dormant. It is made completely ineffective. The word they use there is destroyed in the Greek, but it really means ineffective. It's totally ineffective. It cannot accomplish what it used to do because of what Jesus has already done on the cross. And so the sin nature is ruled ineffective. And the only way that our sin nature can be activated, if you would, because it's dormant, the only way it can be activated is if we choose to place our faith in anything other than Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. Now, how many times have we been guilty of that? All of a sudden we start looking to finances, or we start looking to struggles, or we start looking to, and all of a sudden, what's happening? All of a sudden, the sin nature part of us came alive again. It's like, what happened? What happened to the joy that I had the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? I was floating. I went straight from the lost as lost can be to as found as I can be. I was floating. I was forgiven. I was focused on what? The cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for me. Why did I change my focus? And so we begin to move our faith off the cross, and we're going to talk a lot about this, that at that point we're having our faith in something else other than Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished on the cross. Isn't that awesome? And so we realize, man, that's what woke that thing up. That thing needs to go back dormant again. We're going to talk about how to actually to be in control, or how God's empowered you to be able to be in control of your sin nature. Your sin nature is not supposed to control you. You're supposed to, through the power of God, to control your sin nature. Only God can empower you to do that. So Jesus is our source, and the cross is our means. You're going to hear that a couple of times. But Jesus is our source. What the Son of Man had did, for God so loved the world that he gave who? Jesus, his one and only Son, what to be a sin offering, where on the cross, in our place, to pay the price for what? Our sin nature. Well, we just read about that in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And so, changing that focus can begin to stir things. We're going to break this down a little bit, but first turn to Romans chapter 6. You know, a lot of believers read Romans chapter 7, and they get really, have a lot of thoughts about it. Some of the thoughts they have about it, they say, well, listen, you know, if Paul struggled with sin, and he tried to do what was right, and he couldn't do it, I guess I can just go ahead and sin. They almost say, like, it's a license to sin. I don't have to deal with this thing. And what happens is we're sin-focused instead of, or sin-nature-focused instead of divine nature-focused. We're not focusing on what Christ did on the cross and what he can empower us to do. We're focusing on what we can't do and our inabilities and what I and me and my and all that type of stuff right there. And so let's back up first to Romans chapter 6, which came before 7, and it begins to explain it. And the first thing I want to say here is this, that when people hear most, when they read the word sin in Romans chapter 6, they're thinking of a verb, an action word. You know, I've sinned, I've done this thing. But reality is that word in the Greek is a noun. It's not a verb. Only one time is it a verb, and it's a verb when it's in Romans chapter 6, verse 15, which is an action. The other time, it's a noun, which means sin nature. He's talking about the very sin nature, that the three natures that we have, the human nature, the sin nature, and the divine nature. He's talking not sin in an action sense. He's talking about sin in a nature sense. And so let's replace the word when we're reading sin for sin nature, or a variance of sin nature, to make it fit in the context of the Greek that what it's saying right here. So when you hear me reading, and we're going to read all of chapter 6, you're going to hear me say, in place of the word sin, with the exception of Romans chapter 6, verse 15, which is a verb, I'm going to say sin nature or variance. You know, your sin nature, my sin nature. But sin nature, which is a noun, which is actually, you know, a person, place, or a thing, it's actually there versus something that a person is doing. Let's look at verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And Paul just finished talking about, you know, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. You know, without the law being present, we never would have known what sin was. And it was almost, it could be perceived as where somebody's saying, hey, that means the more evil things that happen, the more good things that happen. And that's not what he was saying at all. God, through his law, was revealing part of our nature. It magnifies our nature. It magnifies the sin nature part of us that came only after the fall of man. Not prior to the fall of man, but it came after the fall of the man in the garden when Adam disobeyed God. But when one man fell, they all fell. And it's in Romans chapter 5. So in verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on letting what? Our sin nature rule so that grace may increase? He's going, no, explanation mark, say that. No, he said, by no means, no way. It's so absurd to think that God would want you to do that which he hates. No, it's just magnifying the parts of our desperate need for a Savior and his love for us and his willingness to give himself for us to make a way out of what we call as our sin nature there. So he was telling us that we have... He was telling us in this first part of Romans chapter 6, he says he wasn't saying this, that we have a license to sin, but but God's grace, no matter how much sin that was there, is sufficient to deal with our issue. And you know what our issue is, right? It's our sin nature. So it's no matter how what has happened, God's more powerful than what happened. God's grace, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that's what he was saying. And so when one interprets God's grace as a license for sin, they are so completely and utterly twisted in their dark understanding. They don't know God. They totally have missed what's happening. They don't understand what the Lord did on the cross and who he is and what happened. But the truth is that Christ and the cross happened literally to do away with the sin nature. So he wouldn't say escalate your sin nature. I died for this, but just let it, just crank it and let it go. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying I dealt with that sin nature. Let's read a little bit further. Look at the next part of verse 2. He said, we died to the sin nature. How can we live to it any longer? Oh, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, what? Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Say new life. A new life. So we become a believer in Jesus Christ, that divine nature of God is in us. And because of what God did on the cross, you know, Jesus is our source and the cross is our means, not our own works. Because of that, you know what? We can just live a whole new life in God. Old things have passed away. What? All things have become new. So it's very important. And when we're baptized, you know, in water baptism, that's representing what actually happened in the spirit when we went down with Jesus into the grave and came back up again. As natural as it was for it to take place in the natural sense for Jesus on the cross, that's exactly what happens to us by faith, to our sin nature. And there's a new way. A new way of the Spirit, Romans chapter 7 says. So we no longer are trying to accomplish any more righteousness in our own power. But it's happening through us by the power of the Spirit of God. It's not that we're leaving righteousness. It's that God instantly makes us right with him through his Son and empowers us as our faith is on Jesus Christ is the source and the cross is the means to do that thing inside of us that we thought we could never do. And we could never do it. It's God doing it through us. Look at verse 5. He says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. What does that mean? Hey, if we died with him, we also were raised with him. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our sin nature might be done away with. The whole purpose of Jesus going to the cross was to deal with that sin nature in man. And it can only be dealt with when we actually turn our faith and our confidence, our perpetual express faith and confidence in what he did on the cross. We're talking about dealing with the sin nature versus the law of the Spirit. How do we deal with this? And through the law of the Spirit, we can deal with the sin nature. And he said, this was done so that our sin nature might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature, because anyone who died has been freed from what? The sin nature. Well, Jesus died in our place. But by faith, we die with him and we're raised with him. It's good news, isn't it? Think about it. He died for us. So when he died, we died with him. When he was raised, we were raised with. He went through all the pain and all the suffering for my sin, for your sin. That's the good news. He took our place. But he dealt with sin nature in sinful man. It's not something it has no right to do what it may have been doing in your life or doing to your loved one's life. God dealt with the sin nature, and we're going to talk more about that. But this is exciting, exciting news. So to understand the cross, we first have to understand the sin nature, for that's the very reason why that God saw that man could not accomplish what needed to be accomplished to be right standing with him. His Son accomplished it for us, and in lieu of us and in our place, he was the bridge that brought us to God when he sacrificed himself on the cross in our place. And he was dealing with what? Say, my sin nature. My sin nature. That's what he was dealing with. Praise God. So the cross makes no sense to someone who doesn't understand they have a sin nature. It makes no sense to them. Why did this man die? And, you know, why would he do that? You know, I'm a good person. Not. Everybody has a sin nature. Remember, we have three natures, or two natures about us. When we're born again, we have a third nature, which is the divine nature. So Christ and the cross, the understanding of the sin nature All three of those go hand in hand. Jesus Christ, the cross, and the sin nature. They all came together, and Jesus came out victorious for you and for me. The law of the Spirit. So for Christ is what? Our source, and the cross is what? Our means. You cannot do anything. Everything is derived from that revelation. And you see why the Church of America is so in so much darkness right now, so much sin, because the church is talking about anything and everything but Jesus Christ and the price that he paid. And there's so many schemes and so many ideas and concepts of how to get yourself right, how to make yourself right, how to do things right. And the only way you can be right is through Jesus Christ and your faith in Jesus Christ. And he empowers you, you're going to find out, empowers us to be able to do what we couldn't do ourselves. It's not that we don't get there. We just can't get there without Jesus. So all these schemes and these ideas and these concepts and this, I don't want to name a lot of them because a lot of people will be offended because they're staking their whole religious reputation on them. But you need Jesus, man. You need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. I'm not talking about a sloppy, agape gospel that anything goes. I'm talking about righteousness, living righteous and holy before the Lord, but done through the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God because I am trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about a different way to get there. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about the only way to get there. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 8. And now if we died to Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Say that. He cannot die again. Say it one more time. He cannot die again. Death no longer has a mastery over him. The death he died to what? Our sin nature, once and for all. But the life he lives, what? He lives to God. He cannot die again, right? We said he cannot die again. Death no longer has a mastery over him. Well, look at the next verse, the beginning of verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to your sinful nature, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Look at that. In the very same way, we're to count ourselves dead to our sin nature. What does that mean? You don't have to talk to it. You don't have to address it. You don't have to feed it. You can let that thing lay dormant till the Lord returns and deals with it eternally. That's what you can do. You don't owe it anything. Jesus died for it to do away with it. So just as plainly as we see Jesus on the cross, when we become a believer and have our faith in Jesus and what he's done on the cross, we are plainly, our sin nature is plainly crucified on that cross. As gruesome of death that Jesus had to go through for our sin nature, that's what happened to our sin nature. And it's dormant. It's to lay dormant unless we stir it up. We're going to talk about there's ways we can revive our sin nature. We don't want to do that. We want that thing to go dormant. Amen? And be ineffective. So God gives us a gift that he talks about at that moment of salvation in Romans chapter 5. He talks about it, and it's the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. You can't earn it. It's a gift that God says, here, you are in right standing with God. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for you. He took your place. You went down with him, but you came up with him also. Your sin nature has been dealt with, and has been dealt with once and for all. Why? Because the law of the Spirit has put to death what? The sinful nature. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 12. Therefore, do not let your sin nature reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Wait a minute. That means the sin nature can somehow be revived, can somehow begin to stir, and all of a sudden it can start controlling my body. I can give my, oh my goodness, I better pay attention. I need to learn. And God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, that a lot of times we don't know that we shifted our faith from the cross and what Jesus has done on the cross to something else, and all of a sudden our sin nature begins to rise up, and all of a sudden it's actually leading us instead of God leading us. We're making every decision based off sin nature instead of off of God and what God says. And so it can actually begin to rule if we actually give ourselves change our direction of what we're believing and what our faith is and our perpetual faith. It's not like I believe once, therefore I always will be. It's perpetually you're trusting in the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the wooden cross. I'm talking about what happened on the cross. when I say the cross. So when you're born again, your sin nature is rendered ineffective and dormant because of our faith expressed in what Jesus did on the cross. Yet, if we begin to put your faith or our faith on someone else or something else or on our works, other than Christ and Him crucified, your sin nature, our sin nature will begin to just begin to wake its, you know, wake its head up and begin to, you know, wake up a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. And if we don't deal with it properly, it will begin to take over. It'll begin to take over. Well, how do we do that? That's what this teaching is about. We need to keep the sin nature in the place that Jesus put it. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 13. He said, do not offer the parts of your body. There it is again. Do not offer the parts of your body to your sin nature as instruments of what? Of wickedness. But rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For the sin nature shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. There he is right there. He's saying, listen, now that you are established in right standing with God, begin to use your divine nature. And we're going to find out that the body is neutral. It's just waiting to be told what to do. Our body is not our issue. Our sin nature would be our issue if it woke up and it's beginning to stir again. And so we can begin to offer our bodies to wherever we want to offer our bodies to. Well, our divine nature says offer it to God. It says love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And our sin nature says, you know, love me, do for me, and what else can you do for me? That's what it does. And so we begin to say, I don't want that part of me. God, I want to deal with that. Help me to deal with my sin nature, because I dealt with the sin nature. There's no more. Let me tell you some good news. When you finish listening to this teacher, you're going to understand the struggle with your sin nature, the struggle part. It's not even supposed to be. You're not even supposed to be struggling. Aren't you ready to stop struggling with that sin nature? Praise God. We'll find out more about that. And so, if an awakening of our sin nature is not properly dealt with, and our faith not returning back to Christ and the cross, and that's how you properly deal with it, you know, it'll begin to raise its head and begin to take mastery over us. And all of a sudden, we can be a slave to it. Because he tells us, whatever you obey, you're a slave. So if we're obeying our sin nature, guess what? Guess who's in control of us? That's right. So in addition, we see that our obedience to God, as we find out here, offering our bodies to righteousness, our obedience to God's word is not done away with. It's our sin nature that's done away with. You don't, everything of God is not thrown out at the cross. No, it's our sin nature that's thrown out at the cross. It's sin that's done away with the cross. But the righteousness that comes from God, our right standing with God, and our obedience to Him, which is our form of worship, we're going to find out, that is actually supposed to escalate through the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit doing it through us. But now there's a new way. Christ is the source. The cross is the means. And He enables us to be able to obey Him. It's none of this like religious duty. Oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Well, at that point, we're actually moving in works. That's our sin nature, believe it or not, even though it seems like it's good. And it's going to create a fall eventually. And we'll talk more about that. This is good. We're just kind of buzzing right through Romans chapter 6. And we're going to talk more about this. But we want to get this inside of us. Look at verse 15. He says, what then shall we say? All right, what then, he says, shall we sin? That's a verb. He says, what then shall we say? Shall we sin? Because they're going like, wow. And he's going, no, he says, what then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. He says, no. Look to your neighbor and say, no. No. He says, by no means. Don't you know that when we offer our, when you offer yourselves to someone to obey Him as slaves, that you are a slave to the one that you're obeying, whether you are a slave to the sin nature, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. You see? Well, how do we become a slave to our sin nature? Well, first of all, we begin to turn our faith, which we'll find out, off of Jesus Christ and the cross, and start trusting in something else. It begins to raise its head. We start obeying what it leads us to do. And next thing you know, we're like a dog being led around by a collar, or a don't know if you play football or not, but it's like somebody grabbing a hold of your face mask, and no matter where you want to go, that's why the penalty is so high, they'll pull you different places. And so your sin nature will just grab a hold of you and just pull you anywhere he wants to take you because you obeyed it. But we can deal with that. It's not over. That can be dealt with. We're going to find out about that. So it's not that we don't obey. It's that we are now empowered, say that, empowered by the Holy Spirit because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. We're empowered to obey him. You know, it's like the first time you rode a bicycle, you know, you tried and you tried and you tried and you failed, you tried and you failed. And when all of a sudden when the bike starts going, you have this kind of like deja vu kind of feeling. You're as a kid, you're going like, it's going. You know, you're like, oh my goodness. You know, you start thinking. What happens when we start trusting God, you find out it's working. God's doing this. I thought I could never say no, but God empowered me and led me in a way that yes and no didn't even come up. It just changed in my life. It's good, isn't it? It's good. When we understand how evil the sin nature is, but how awesome Jesus is and what he did and how he did away with the evilness of the sin nature and put it away, it's empowering how much he loves us. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave. So no, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. But the grace that God has given us is an empowerment, what? To just follow him and do what he says. Well, we love him. He's telling us we obey him because if we love him, we obey him. But we do it because he graces us to be able to actually follow him and obey him. It's pretty good. So Christ is our what? Source. And the cross is our what? Means. What does that mean? Always, if you don't have your source on Jesus and you don't have the means in the cross, you're moving into the sin nature area. And the end of that is not going to be good. Guaranteed. You may be able to do it for a little while, but guaranteed, tick, 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 boom. It's not going to work. Only through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to your sin nature, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teachings to which you were entrusted. You have been set free. Say set free. Set free from the sin nature and have become what? Slaves to righteousness. In other words, it's the way I was attached to the sin nature and I couldn't break free outside of Jesus Christ. Guess what? I'm attached to righteousness now. I'm in right standing with God. Try to take it from me if you can. I am in right standing with God. Say that. I'm in right standing with God. Amen. Praise God. The enemy has lost. God has won. Why? Because he sacrificed Jesus Christ and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. In lieu of us, he paid the price and made us in right standing with God. That's the gift. So he says, you wholeheartedly obeyed. Well, obeying the Father, it's not like you had like 10 commandments and you obeyed 10 commandments and therefore you're saved. And that's what the enemy will do to you. No, you wholeheartedly obeyed what? You obeyed when he said that the only way to me is through my Son. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you accept his finished work on the cross, then you wholeheartedly obeyed me. I mean, he says it right here in John chapter 6, verse 28 through 29. You'll have to turn there. You can write it down. That's John 6, 28 through 29. They're talking to Jesus, and they asked him, he says, what must we do then to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered now. This is Jesus answering. He said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. Look at that. That is to wholeheartedly obey God is to say, accept my Son. Accept that you couldn't do it. Accept that he did do it. And accept that I'm going to do something through you by the enablement of my Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life. Verse 19. So I put this in human terms, Paul says, because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery and to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them as slavery, what? To righteousness, leading to what? Holiness, which is separation from the world. When you were slaves to your sinful nature, you were free from the control of righteousness. But and what benefit did you reap at that time? things that you think about now that you're ashamed of that you did then. There was no benefit. There was things that you were ashamed of. Those things result in death, he talks about. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I do not want to do, I do. And what I hate to do, I do. Well, let me say right here that when we know we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are focusing on our faith on Him and His finished work, there's something that changes in us. And we'll talk more about it in a future part of the series. But we don't want to sin anymore. You know, when we become a believer, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Truly we are. You really are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that all things have passed away. And Christ in you causes you to feel very differently about your sin nature if it was stirred in those things. And it's not that you don't sin, it's that you avoid sin and you hate it and you don't want to be a part of it. If you do sin, you're ashamed of it in the sense that you love God so much and you didn't want to do that. And you're hurt by it because you didn't want to hurt the Lord. But also the cross is the remedy for what happened there. So there's not some license to sin. Yet if the same awesome Christ and the cross that we're talking about, it will deal directly with this shame and this hurt that I'm also talking about. But when you're in love with somebody, when you love them, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to do things that displease them. It's not like someone is losing their salvation. It's the fact that, oh my goodness, I just hurt the one I love. And so it's a different response. A believer has a different response to sin than they did when they weren't. Before they were a believer, not only did not bother them to sin, but they are actually looking for opportunities and people to sin with. It's a totally different type of person. Why? Because we were utterly controlled completely by our sin nature. That's the reason why. That was a sin nature that was going on. So there is a difference. You know in how you relate to God when your spirit bears witness with God's spirit that you're a son of God. He talks about that in Romans chapter 8. And our relationship and understanding to the cross and our sin nature also reveals that as well. Look at verse 22. He says, but now that you have been set free from the sin nature and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is what? Eternal life. For the wages of sin is what? The wages of the sin nature is what? It's death. That's the wages of the sin nature. But the gift of God, remember, which is righteousness, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Listen, the sin nature part of us as believers has been dealt with. So if we have the gift of right standing with God with righteousness, so guess what? Eternal life. That's awesome, if that's where our faith is. So the gift of God is not something that we work for. It's a gift. Can you imagine getting up on your birthday and people have gifts there for you, and all of a sudden you're going, well, I got that. You know, it's because I did this and because I did that. And everybody's going like, I'm not going to get him or her a gift anymore. They want to take total credit for what I actually just gave them. Well, we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about death on the cross to pay the price for us. We're talking about God, Jesus, became man forever to be able to pay the price and to be the bridegroom of us, the bride of Christ. It's a huge price that he wants to pay and he wanted to pay. But it's not just a religious experience. It's an awesome, loving God in love with you. And we're loving him back. And it's a gift of righteousness that he just gives us. That's how awesome the cross is. I mean, think about this. I'm going to look at Revelation chapter 5. Look at Revelation chapter 5. That Jesus Christ is so awesome. And the price that he paid on that cross enabled him to do what no other man can do. And this is why when you read about the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, how awesome he is and why they cry out to him. Look at John's talking here in verse 1, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. He says, then I saw, and this is the Father, he says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, this is the scroll on the side of God, with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scrolls? Look at that, worthy. Who is worthy? But no one in heaven, on earth, or under earth could open the scrolls or even what? Look inside of it. There's no one righteous. Not one. That's what they're saying. There's none. No one's worthy. No one's worthy to redeem this earth. And that's what that was. That's a title deed to earth that somebody's going to have to get. And nobody can redeem this earth. And all of a sudden, verse 4, he says, I wept and wept because no one was found that was worthy to open the scrolls and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Say that. Say, do not weep. Look to your neighbor. Say, do not weep. This is what the good news is. He says, do not weep. See, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. And he, who's he? Jesus is able to open the scrolls and its seven seals. Why? Because what he did on the cross. Because what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the bridegroom, the king, the line of the tribe of Judah, did on the cross. Why should your faith be anywhere else other than the cross of Jesus Christ and his finished work right there? He's worthy, worthy to be praised. And he says in verse 6, he says, then I saw a lamb standing in the center of the throne who took the scrolls from the right hand of God who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the throne. Each of them had a harp, and they had a holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Which, by the way, that's what the prayer and fasting community is about the VFN family. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scrolls and to open the seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on earth. Look at that. He's worthy. What did he do? With his blood that he shed on the cross, he purchased you. He purchased me. 100%. The price was the blood of a sinless man, a sinless Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. You have been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. The enemy convinces you, begins to stir up your sin nature and start to talk about this inner voice going on inside of you. I got good news for you. You've been bought. If you're a believer and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been bought. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 says, Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's God dwelling inside of you. That's your divine nature who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own, he says. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with what? Your bodies. What was the price? We just saw it in Revelation. It was the blood of Jesus. He's the one that's worthy. Listen, it's all about Jesus. The enemy has turned it into everything. He's turned it into denominationalisms. He's turned it into traditions. He's turned it into to church. He's turned it into to Bible studies. The enemy's turned it into everything but one. One thing, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, it's all about him. He is worthy to receive all the glory, all the praise. Why? Because he dealt with our sin nature once and for all. He's good. What are you doing focusing on your sin nature? God's dealt with it. I'm going to begin to unroll wisdom on and knowledge on your sin nature, where you're going to begin to deal with it through the law of the Spirit that I'm going to reveal to you in this teaching. And I want to encourage you that you're just going to enter into a revelation of what's already happened to you as this teaching progresses. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so the first thing we want to talk about here is the sin nature. You know, what is the sin nature? It's very simple. Our sin nature is the bent of human beings towards sin, towards wrongdoing. Isn't it amazing they say that children are innocent? Have you had children? You think about it. Weren't you a child at one time? Were you? Think about it. There's something innate in the human being that's bent towards wrongdoing, towards sin. What is that? That's the sin nature. That is the actual sin nature itself. And when you hear the word flesh, when you're hearing the word flesh talked about, and it's defined basically as it's referring to this, personal strengths or abilities, you know, what we can do ourselves. You know, in John 6, 63, Jesus tells us about this particular, he says in John 6, 63, he says, the flesh counts for nothing. And what's he really saying when we understand the flesh is our abilities and our strengths? He's really saying our personal strengths and abilities then count for what? Nothing. Oh my goodness. You mean all this, you know, God, I've been pumping myself up spiritually. I've been really, he's like, no, nothing, nothing. Just believe. Begin to put your focus and your faith back on Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what He accomplished on that cross. And watch Him, watch the Holy Spirit do a work through you. The flesh counts for nothing. Think about this, that in our weakness, when we're weak is actually when we're strong. When God wanted to give Paul and use Paul more, when He wanted to do more things through Paul, when He wanted to accomplish more things through Paul, you know what He did? He weakened His flesh. He weakened His ability to do things. And if we don't understand this, when God gets ready to use you, you know, you get weaker and weaker and weaker. You think, I can't even lift my hand. God goes, you're about ready. Because there's nothing you can do in your own strength and your abilities that I will accept. I accept no works of the flesh. Think about it. When He wanted to be able to use Paul, what did He do? He actually sent a messenger to what? To deal and weaken with His flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. He says, and this is Paul talking. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the what? A thorn in the flesh. We have a human nature, right? We have a sin nature. And we have a divine nature. And what does flesh count for? Flesh counts for what? Nothing. It's our abilities and our strengths. So often, you know, especially in America, we're so focused on what we can do. We miss the awesomeness of what God's already done and can do when we finally let go of our works and watch Him accomplish what He planned to do before you were even born. And He goes on to say in verse 8, He says, he did this. He sent this messenger of Satan to torment me, which is his flesh. He said, verse 8, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this away, but He said to me what? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power, for God's power, is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? Relax with the flesh. God does not, no. It's about denying ourselves, picking up our cross, focusing on the cross of Jesus, watching what God does, and begin to watch Him do a work of righteousness in our life, a work of a sanctification, if you would, in our life right there. And He wanted to use Paul more. He wanted to accomplish more through Paul. He probably wanted to give Paul his heart's desire, but what did it require? It required of his flesh being weakened. What did John the Baptist say? He says, Jesus must increase and I must what? Decrease. It's okay. God's got you. He loves you. He died. He's got good plans in store for you, but you're not going to bring those plans to pass. He's going to bring those plans to pass. You might have got some good ideas, but guess what? They're not God ideas. So they're not His idea. You got to just let Him go and watch what happens. What did He do when He gave the vision to Joseph? Joseph began to share it. He was all pumped up. Next thing you know, he ended up in a pit. He ended up in slavery. He ended up in prison. What was happening to Joseph? His flesh was being weakened, wasn't it? And finally, when it came time for Joseph to lead Israel, what happened? He said, you need to find you somebody. I'm just too tired. He said, you need to find somebody to run all this. And he said, well, it must be you. And they picked Joseph to run it. You would think they would have found somebody with more energy, that had more ability. But at that point, his flesh became so weak and he became so humbled at that point that he did not want it. He didn't want it to come to pass. And God going, it's time. Sounds like God, don't it? It's how God works. It's our sin nature. He dealt with it already. We can just let go and watch the power of God, the law, the spirit of life begin to work out God's desires in our life and our destiny, which is good for us. And he says, then Paul says, in the rest of that, he goes, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen, if we're still struggling for reputation, if you're real struggling for what you look like in other people's eyes, if you're still struggling for how you think things should happen, you know, it's a sin nature getting stirred up. You got to begin to turn your eyes back to the enjoyment and the abundant life that God has called you to. You know, we have an abundant life if we choose to receive this abundant life and focus our faith on what is the epicenter. What you read in Revelation is going to happen when they begin to cry out, "He is worthy." Why? Because he's purchased you with his blood. Awesome. Praise God. So God actually had to weaken Paul's strength and abilities to use them. Think about it. That's how insignificant our fleshly efforts and our works are towards God. That's why you just want to get rid of the hay, the wood, and the stubble, and you just want to hear what God wants. Why? It's going to burn anyway. You might as well just let it go and focus and hear him out. And so the sin nature, we're finding out what is a bent inside of us, but God has dealt with the sin nature. And the body itself, our physical body, it's not your enemy. It's neutral. It's just waiting to be told what to do. If you say, hey, I want to be able to offer my body to righteousness, your body just will do it. And if we say, I want to offer my body to the sin nature, guess what? The sin nature, it will just do it. What does that mean? Somebody says, my flesh just, no, the flesh is our strength and abilities. But actually, it's our sin nature that's taking our strength and abilities and saying, let's go with the sin nature. How do we deal with that sin nature that was rising up? Ah, I got my eyes off the prize. I got my eyes off the cross. I got my eyes off what Jesus accomplished there. I need to keep my total focus on Christ and him crucified. Why? Because he will empower, the Holy Spirit will be released in my life to accomplish everything that I was trying to accomplish myself. Praise the Lord. Remember, they sought to establish their own righteousness, therefore they couldn't be received. God establishes our righteousness, not us. So, strangely enough, the struggle with the sin nature applies more to people or more to believers who live a more consecrated or dedicated life towards God. Because their focus, you know, they love the Lord deeply. Therefore, to fail the Lord is a burden almost too heavy for them to bear. Yet, not knowing the victory that's in the cross, so many people don't understand what I'm telling you. Not knowing the victory that's in the cross, they constantly are failing the Lord. Hence, they're constantly struggling. And most of these people are led to believe that this is what a Christian experience is a daily struggle with their sin nature. Okay, here goes another day. Let's see if I can make it through this sin struggle today. That's all they talk about. It's like, my goodness, what happened to Jesus Christ and the cross? It just comes all about their sin nature. Think about it. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Well, we're gonna break from this part and just I'm so encouraged what God is doing and what he's saying. We're gonna pick up from part two, talking about that we're not supposed to be fighting or struggling with this sin nature. We are supposed to fight the good fight of faith. We're gonna talk about that, but not the fight against the sin nature, because the fight has been fought and it's been won. Bless God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I'm excited, Lord, about telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ, that you paid the price once and for all. You dealt with that sin nature, Father God. I just pray even now that you begin to stir everyone's heart to focus back on what matters most, you, in Jesus' name.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to vfntv.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to vfntv.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.